The exhibition features all women artists and their response to the written works of other women. The title is Strange Oscillations and Vibrations of Sympathy, which comes from a sentence that Sylvia Plath underlined in her copy of Virginia Woolf's The Waves. Curator Kendra Pates says there's a specific reference to that quote in a text-based work by artist Stephanie Brooks, which is on display at the University Galleries.
So they're called Sylvia Plath's Underlinings in Virginia Woolf's The Waves. She also has some from Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway and The Years. Stephanie was doing some research at Smith College in the Plath Archive and found Sylvia Plath's copies of Virginia Woolf's books. So, you know, a lot of us make our own notations in our books. So she was searching through Plath's copies of Virginia Woolf's books and was really struck by all of the different notations that Plath had made. So Stephanie made a selection of those notations, those places that Sylvia Plath had underlined Virginia Woolf's words, and then made these small text-based abstractions that sort of look like two pages of a book facing each other. And they're these white plates that only have text where the text would have fallen on the page of the book. In thinking about this show, I've been thinking about it for a few years and collecting artworks toward the final version of the exhibition. And Stephanie was one of the first artists, of course, that I thought to put in the show. And I loved the idea of using one of the author's words as the title, but also the fact that those author's words, so two different writers, Virginia Woolf's words, then selected by Sylvia Plath, then selected by Stephanie Brooks. I just loved all of those different kind of layers of mediation of Woolf's original words. And several artists in the show are responding to Woolf, and a few are responding to Plath. So those works also serve as a nice bridge between some of the Woolf works and some of the Plath works.
So we have 21 artists inspired by writers. And you, I must say, you kind of have a thing for writers and artists doing work about women writers. Was it just last year? You had a work by Carrie Schneider.
Yes.
And so that was basically her photographing women reading. And
yes.
So is this like a thread that really runs through a lot of your curation?
I mean, I am really interested in the intersection of art and literature. I feel like people often relate to storytelling or poetry or prose. Often a wider public has a connection to that than they do with contemporary art sometimes. So I think it's a really nice bridge.
It's a bridge.
Right, yes. So I'm really interested in how, you know, I'm a voracious reader, and I'm really interested in how these different artists are responding, you know, in such, I mean, I hate to use the word unique, but they are these really unique interpretations of their experiences of reading those texts. And it's funny you mentioned Carrie. She's actually in this show as well. Because she has this massive project called Reading Women, it really felt like it would be an oversight not to include her in the show. However, I just did a large exhibition of her work last year, and I didn't want to duplicate what we had shown already with her Reading Women film and the series of portraits connected to that work. And so because I have some great funding for this show from some of the grants, I was able to give Carrie some production money to make new photographs, or new prints, and frame new prints of photographs that she had made while making Reading Women. So these are photographs that she took at the end of the sessions with those women, of their hands holding open the books on the last pages that they read during their session with her.
Why is the last page important?
I think it's just sort of a demarcation of time, of that amount of time they have spent together in that session. Also, it's a way to situate the viewer's experience differently, because in the rest of the Reading Women project, we see the women reading, and we see most of their bodies, we see how they're seated, how they're positioned, we see some of their surroundings, and we see the book, but we don't really access the book. But through this portion of the project, we see their hands and we see through their eyes. You know, Carrie kind of stands over them with the camera, so we look down at the
book. So we become the reader.
Right, so we have that experience. But so we've printed two photographs. One is called Cecilia Reading Alejandra Pizarnik, and then has the title of the book she's reading, and another is Kendra Reading Toni Morrison, and then the title and year of the book. And so I was really thrilled. I mean, with projects like this, especially when we have funding, I mean,
Did you use Warhol grant funding for
this? Yes. So there are several projects throughout the show where because of the Warhol grant affiliated with this and a few other projects, we were able to commission new works or help artists produce new works or create an installation.
So we have some works that were already in existence, yes, and other works that you commissioned. Tell me about the artists that were selected and the selections they made with regards to the artists or the writers that they were inspired by.
It's important to note that this is the type of show that could exist in double, triple, quadruple the amount of space that we have here.
And you've dedicated a lot of space to it, almost the whole gallery, basically.
Yes, so we've dedicated all of our exhibition spaces to this show. These 21 artists are making incredible, vibrant, vital, conceptually rigorous work that represents a wide range of viewpoints. But this show, just by nature of this broad subject matter, can't possibly be entirely inclusive. And Wolf alone, I mean, countless artists have made work about Wolf. It was really important to me to have this specific viewpoint of women responding to other women's words over time and thinking about that sort of creative progress.
Well, of course, I think Wolf, of course, comes to mind a lot because of that famous quote, a woman must have money and a room of her own if she is to write fiction.
Right. Yes.
And we can extend that to and to create art.
Yes, this loosely being a tribute to that notion and to having to bringing all of these specifically female viewpoints together as interpretations of these words. And there's a really wide range of mediums. You know, there's embroidery, there are fabric works, there are massive sculptural installations, there are film installations, works on paper, photography.
Deanna Frid is also a part of this show. Why don't you tell me about her work?
Oh, Deanna is just amazing. I met her because of this project. I've known her work for a while, and she works a lot with textiles. And she has a book called The Waves that is inspired by Wolf's novel, The Waves, so coming back to Wolf again. But her book really relates to that rhythm. So she has all of these materials. So there's fabric and embroidery, but there's cellophane in it. It's fragile, so it will be under a vitrine, like a plexiglass case, so to protect it, so people will not be able to sort of flip through it. But I'm planning to take the case off and change the pages every now and then so we can get different views of it.
The work The Waves may be under a case, but Deanna Frid's expression of rhythm has free range in the exhibition, Strange Oscillations and Vibrations of Sympathy. Speaking via Skype, the Chicago-based artist says she's pleased to have the great opportunity to be in this show with her work and exploring the premise with other women artists through the modality of visual artwork.
To think both about the present and the past simultaneously, and what a better way to do it through the language that comes to us from fellow travelers, women who have had to explore ways of thinking and ways of being and ways of seeing the world through language, and subsequently by giving that language a visual or a different kind of experience. Not everybody's working visually only in the show. So that was a great attraction to me. Also working with Kendra Pates, because her she does research so deeply into each artist, and she understands what's important in terms of working with artists and helping artists understand how they're making connections with other artists who are in different ways approaching the same questions. The piece is from 2011. Kendra chose it because it references Virginia Woolf's The Waves. It's not an illustration of what happens in Virginia Woolf's modernist novel. You know, the thing about The Waves, Virginia Woolf's novel, is that it doesn't focus on a plot, even though there is a plot. But what it does is that it focuses on the rhythms. So there is the visible language, right?
Yes,
like the words,
yes,
on the page. And when you read them for the sense and the story that they're telling. But at the same time, something invisible is happening, which is like the waves of the sea. You know, like you feel that in the book, that the book ebbs and flows. You know, the waves in the plot rise and then they fall. And so that's how Virginia Woolf works with rhythm. And so using the figure of what might be a wave, I just worked with the word wave, and I just repeated it. And in addition to repeated it, I piled up one word wave on top of another word wave. And as you saw in the book, the word wave accrues, and it crests like a wave would at six times. So six times the letter, the word wave on each side of the pages adjacent to each other, and then it begins to ebb again until in the end you just have one word wave and then nothing. So that was my response to thinking about what Virginia Woolf might have meant about not working for a plot but working for a rhythm, and that really appealed to me, that language does something about telling us stories, which are very important, but it always does something else that it makes us feel. It's like it has a musicality.
Let's talk about how you want your piece received. What do you hope people get out of it? Are you hoping that their reception of it, there will be a rhythm of that as well in how they're perceiving it?
I think that because it is a group exhibition, hopefully the ideal audience is an audience that comes hoping to be a little bit challenged to make connections between the works in the exhibition, and also that they take the time to develop their own reflections on what they've seen. And I know that perhaps that's a lot to ask from an audience, but that's how I go to look at artwork. And of course, the things that make me want to engage with a work are often sensuous, you know? Does it attract my attention materially, conceptually? I'm sure there will be some kind of museum label accompanying the works. But my ideal viewer doesn't read the label first looks and takes the time to consider and think, and then might read the label. And to be a little bit mystified is not necessarily a bad thing.
That's artist Diana Fried. Her work, The Waves, is currently on view as part of Strange Oscillations and Vibrations of Sympathy at the University Galleries in Uptown Normal. The artist is also appearing as part of a symposium, November 9th through the 12th, called Oscillations of Genre and Gender. She'll be appearing Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at Illinois State University's Milner Library. The exhibition continues at the galleries through December 18th. I'm Laura Kennedy.